BFBS, the Forces Station.
Eric, when you first began working on the show, a lot of actors you speak to say, oh, we had no idea this show would run for as long as it has. But with Trigger Point, did you know it would have the legs it's obviously got?
I mean, when I got the role, I didn't even know what it was. So it's hard to not sound, you know, as cliched as that phrase is. But yeah, I didn't anticipate it being growing into what it's grown into. So it's a blessing. Count our blessings, right?
100%. I mean, there have been quite a few actors that have come in and not stayed.
Yeah.
Stories have changed. I don't think anybody was prepared for it to be the hit that it was. I think that was, you know, people really love the show.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like, you know, it feels like 24 in some ways, that formula of, you know, high tension, you know, with characters that, you know, with good characters. So, yeah.
Nabil, so talk to me about Hassan, your character, the one portrayed in Trigger Point. How's he doing in series 3?
I really love the fact that we find out much more about who he is. He becomes a lot more, I mean, everybody in the kind of team becomes fuller.
Yeah.
You kind of meet people and they're much more involved. They have a much stronger voice in it. Hass, we find out, is a divorcee. We find out that he's sober. We find out that he's got two daughters. And that's all lovely stuff to play. You know, it just feels like a kind of a world, you know?
And Eric, how's Danny doing?
What we find is that he has an emotional roller coaster, being torn between prioritizing his family or his family at work, and the challenges that come with prioritization, you know, just priority of what needs to kind of come first, you know. So it's definitely a journey in which we see him become more autonomous within the world emotionally. We get to hear more about what he thinks, which is cool.
What kind of connection do you feel to that character?
It's weird because, I'm a lot older from when I started the show. And I think the connection I have with Danny is that we're aging at the same time and in and around the same age and at the same kind of pace. And so I think having grown up on the show, you know, we've done it for what, about four years.
Yeah.
So having grown up on the show, essentially, is something that I have kind of a deep sentimental connection to, because some of my life moments have taken place whilst I've been shooting this show. And again, it's just a blessing, you know, and a credit to belief, putting in the work, craft, graft, and all of the above. So,
and Nabil, talking about the character of Lana Washington, played by Vicky McClure, of course, how much of a comparison is there between Vicky and Lana?
Vicky, I think Lana is Vicky's kind of shadow, you know. She's nothing like that, and she's driven, but with, you know, she is like the fist in a velvet glove. You know, she doesn't need to kind of do any. She kind of leads with love and heart, but also get the job done. I mean, I've seen that on set that when there are scenes that are challenging and we need to do a rewrite. You know, her barometer for not wanting to put something out, which is pants, is strong. And I love that because it's so easy just to think, oh, you know what? I can't be bothered. I'm too tired. That's not quite working. Do I really want to get into the trenches about this now? Mm-hmm. But actually what's great is because she's the exec and because she cares about the craft, and it's got to be truthful. So, you know, she'll, you know, as do I and Dad, we will try and find a way of, you know, of expressing ourselves in the scenes in a truthful way. So it's not like didactic or kind of like script. It's just people talking.
Yeah.
People are just talking.
Jason Fleming joins the cast in series 3. Another national treasure, I think it's fair to say. But Eric, I'm not saying he does always play a bad guy, and he necessarily will in Trigger Point, but he seems to be very good at that darker, more mysterious character, doesn't he?
And listen, once you have your calling, you have your calling. When it works, and if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. The irony behind it is that he's one of the loveliest men I've ever encountered in my life. And having got to work closely with him for about 2 to 3 days, where it was just us, maybe I think it was about 2 days, I found out more about him and his life and how he's gotten to where he has. And I think that he is an exceptional addition to this season's and just I think that he was made for those types of roles, physically and in his demeanor and in his stature, but off camera, he's
lovely.
He's as warm as anything.
When we arrived here today for the press junket, he's there and he rushes over and he says, "Can I get you a coffee? Can I get you some water?" You know, he's immediately
In
he's a
service.
yeah,
Love
he's a
this.
mensch, as they would say. He's a mensch. He always wants to look after you.
Yeah.
And that's a really lovely and endearing quality.
Yeah.
He's probably a serial killer.
Probably.
Well, after seeing the first couple of episodes, no spoilers, just check that coffee before you drink it. That's the only advice I can give you on that one.
That's really sweet.
And he's gone.
And
Nabil, I was going to ask you before you sadly passed away during the interview. You worked on a lot of sets over the years, just to name a couple: EastEnders, Top Boy, Only Fools and Horses as well, but a lot of big names. But where does the mood in the camp, the relationships with the cast and crew, rank for you?
You know, and I've been really blessed. I've worked on some great things, and for a lot, you know, for periods of time. But this is number one. This and a film that I did quite recently because we were together for 3 months. But there's just something. I don't know. There's just something about this group, specific group of personalities that have been put together. They're very open-hearted, very warm, and it doesn't. It feels it's not about. Nobody really wants to be the center of frame. They're not vying for that. It's more about a collective, and people often say those words, but you don't really experience them on set. And some, like for instance, Eric. I mean, I've seen Eric just kind of grow on set, you know, in confidence, in skills, in taking his space, his voice. And that's been such a joy, you know, it really has. Me and Vicky have a joke that, you know, he's like our son, you know, like how's he doing today? Is he all right? Yeah, well, look, do you want to have a chat with him? I'm not going to have a chat with him. No, I'll have a chat. All right, I'll have a chat with him. So it's that kind of vibe, but it just speaks to the warmth, because you know what? It's easier not to say anything. It's easier not to care. But when you care, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Nabil, we see on the show that Haas, Eric and Lana, they enjoy a trip to the pub after work, a bit of music, the odd game of darts as well. They have a laugh together. There's that real bond between the characters. How do the three of you unwind after a long day on set in real life, off screen?
Well, lots of chats. We speak on the phone quite a lot.
Yeah.
We speak on the phone quite a lot. And I think because we spend so much time on set, we don't really need to spend much time out of set. Now that we're not on set, we'll probably see each other much more, for sure. I would like that. But in terms of lots of, it feels like we're always on the phone. Like, you know, it would be odd if I didn't speak to him in a week. You know, like, we check in, like, what's going on for you? How's things? And I think that's definitely because of, you know,
the bond.
The bond. I mean, I don't have that with every member of the cast. Not because all the other members aren't amazing too, but it's just a different feeling. It's, you know, in some ways, this is kind of like this nucleus here.
Yeah.
And it feels, I don't know, it's just because we spend so much time together on set.
Yeah.
You know.
Eric, do you have any tips for the viewers on how they can potentially unwind at the end of watching Trigger Point? Because it's very tense. You're constantly on the edge of your seat. You need to decompress afterwards.
I think the best way to decompress is to take a minute after watching it, to take it in, take some deep breaths, pick up the phone, and then tell the next person to watch it.
Yeah, it's high octane.
And it's educational for you as well, isn't it? So you've been learning from the real bomb disposal team. Can you tell us anything you've learned, any takeaway lessons?
Well, the first takeaway lesson is that they're wired, excuse the pun, in such a fashion that their kind of thing of service, you know, obviously being the forces, service, being off service, being in service, and walking towards danger.
Yeah.
It's like the wiring is intense. That's like very palpably different. And there's a kind of very directness about them as well, which in terms of the expos that I worked with, you know, the Paul Biddises and obviously the job, it's play, 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 but very direct and very clear. And there's something really refreshing about that, especially in a world of acting where there could be quite a lot of cream
and
to the cake.
And make believe.
Yeah. These guys just go, it's this, you know?
It takes a certain type of person to be able to do what they do. And I think that it's an honor to even be playing these roles, you know,
definitely.
Because we have to shout out to, or give a shout out rather, to the people that are doing this, that are in the field right now, you know, the unsung heroes, those who've lost their lives. And I think, more than anything, that's the reward as well. It's the reward. In the long-winded answer to your question, what's really enjoyable about them as well is that they're very matter of fact.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Matter of fact, you know.
And that helps us as well, because what happens is we become very, you know, hyper focused on making sure that we do right. So, you know, you know, our clothing, how we tuck ourselves in, how we do our laces, how we move towards something, everything like that then becomes very much, I will refer to Joel and say, look, does this read to you correctly?
Is this accurate?
You know, because not because I want to look great. It's irrelevant. It's because I don't want to let you guys down. I don't want somebody out there who's doing that day in and day out. Say, this guy didn't even have the care to, you know, put his flak jacket properly on or his helmet on correct. Something like that, something that's seemingly trivial, isn't trivial.
It feels like as well, watching the show, having a sense of humour is very important, even in some quite dark, very intense times. Like you say, when they're approaching these sort of bomb scenes, you know, they don't know what they're walking into. They're cracking jokes to each other. It seems like that's a massive part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's their way of life. Remember, this is the normal to them, is to expect the unexpected, you know. Mm. And I think that once the idea of death, which is an inevitable, but death in that way becomes so normal, then the rest of everything else in the world just becomes kind of lighthearted and just normal, you know. So threat being imminent is obviously taken seriously in terms of the job. Mm. But I think that for the types of people that they are and the decision that they've made to do this job, that would just be a common thing to just joke and make dark joke and include, you know, a lot of gallows humor within
Big
the
time.
Writing, you know.
Big
so I think that you've got to have a sense of humor, both I would assume on the actual job and also in what it is that we're doing too.
Yeah, 100%.
We tell that story. BFBS, the Forces Station.